So going back,
going back to you,
603 is where we grew up, is the house that we grew up in. 603. And like I said, 3.5 rooms, a bedroom, kitchen, a living room, and one little half of a room that my sister and I shared the bed together. And then we used to have to, you know, had an outdoor toilet when we grew up. Yes.
I guess everybody did, didn't they?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you had to take a bath in a tin tub. You had to heat the water on the stove and all of that. I mean, we had to, so we grew up there, but we didn't think about being poor. We didn't think about, at least I didn't think about being poor. I didn't think about so much the racism that existed in Chapel Hill. I mean, we felt that we already had enough. I mean, we had enough. There was Mr. Ben Baldwin that had a shop right up there. We had a movie theater that we went to. I mean, my mother was in charge of a base and softball team. We played softball. We traveled all around the country playing softball. I mean, you know, she was like the street leader, and anytime somebody died or was sick, she would go around and collect the money for them. And you know, we were just really, very
did she close. Work?
Yeah, she worked at University Laundry out there.
At the laundry. And yes. So then she did this after work, weekends. Yes. So right. when she did the softball, so was your mom an athlete?
I never known her to play, but she was one that organized the softball team.
She wanted you to be an athlete.
She wanted us to be active. My sister mm-hmm. and I both played basketball at Lincoln.
And you did you play softball? I thought I saw that in your yearbook too.
Yeah. So we, you know, this was like a community, and we had this team, and we would go all around and play softball. I mean, we had to walk to Northside, and we had to go across the little stream, and you know, had good days there. And then, of course, in 1950, to the school, you know, Lincoln opened.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln mm-hmm. opened, and
after Orange County closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Orange County Training School closed. Mm-hmm. And I went to Lincoln in the 7th grade. And we had to walk. We never knew what no bus was. So and I'll never forget, in 1954, Hazel came through. They let us out in all that hurricane, I mean, in all that storm. I mean, so.
Do you remember the year? What was that?
1954.
Mm-hmm. And you had to walk?
Yes, I had to walk.
You must have been scared to death.
I think we all were. I mean, you know, all of us. I mean, it was just, there was, you know, no but near Chapel Hill and buses now that people don't even have to pay the ride, but we didn't have anything. You know, so we had to walk to school. And kids now, they wouldn't go to school if they didn't have a car or something to ride in. But
that's probably true, yeah. And even the kids who could walk, right. often they don't do it. You know, right. they live close enough.
Right.
So, you talked about 1954. When as soon as you said that, I thought about that's the year that that Brown versus Board of Education.
I mean,
so it was. But did you remember that happening? Do you remember how your parents responded? Did anybody talk about that?
No, but I think in the 60s we were very much involved in the civil rights movement and marched and all of that. I mean,
later,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But see, in 54, no, I think that, and I'm not sure when Lee Vickert's son went to, you know, was the first one to integrate the schools. I don't remember.
It was in the 60s. Early 60s.
60, because, see, I left in 1957 and went to Winston-Salem State.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there 4 years. I graduated in 61, came back here, stayed in my... I got married in August of 61, stayed in Uncle Billy's house, because Uncle Billy stayed over Uncle Billy's.
With your new husband?
With my husband was still in school, so I mean, he finished 2 years after I did.
And you met him at Winston-Salem State?
I met him at Winston-Salem.
So he's not a local guy?
He's from Newburgh, North Carolina.
Oh my gosh.
So growing up is just great. But like I said, in 1962, I finished college in 1961. Mm-hmm. So I came back home, went to work at North Carolina Memorial Hospital. It wasn't UNC Hospital then, but North Carolina Memorial Hospital. And
was it part of the UNC system? Excuse me. So NC Memorial was it?
North Carolina Memorial Hospital.
Was it integrated?
I worked as a staff nurse on 6A, which was the unit for white folks. Black folks were on 4B, like if you were medicine. The hospital was segregated. We had to go in the basement to the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. It was.
What were you thinking at that time? I mean, was that because it seems like at Winston-Salem State, you're around, you're intellectually stimulated.
It was Winston-Salem State, as you know, is a black.
It's
a black university.
Right.
I mean, and so. I had never, had any dealing with white people because I went to black school all through my high school, elementary, high school, college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then at Memorial, like I said, it was North Carolina Memorial Hospital, mm-hmm. state hospital. So we were... It was segregated. It was segregated. And I'm not even sure when they changed it because I left in 1964 and went to Baltimore. Yeah. So I don't know exactly when the hospital became integrated.
It was probably just a few years later, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So while you were there, that was the first time then that you were actually working for and with white people?
Mm-hmm. Working with white.
What was that like for you?
I don't remember anything. I mean, I guess it was like you always, quote, supposed to know your place. So you're just not right. So you, and because growing up here in Chapel Hill, we were here. They were there. We would go down, we would walk downtown to down Franklin Street and stuff. I remember we'd go in Big Jones. You know, you have to sit, mm-hmm. They wouldn't let you sit and do all of those things. But we had enough things to entertain us that I guess it just didn't make that much difference in the system. My parents never really talked about it so much that I know there was. They went to work, they came home, they provided for us. We never got, it just wasn't much discussion about it. As it is today, no, it wasn't discussed like today.
Did your parents give you any warnings or tips or, how to deal with white people? What to do, what to say, what not to say? Or did you just kind of learn it from watching them do it? Did they ever give you some guidelines, like never go to this part of town at a certain
time? I don't remember.
Don't remember.
I don't remember them doing that. It just seemed like this is your place. You just stay here. You just do what. They never said anything. We would go to Durham. There was a store over there. We would go to Durham to shop and Laura's, where my mother bought all her clothes, beautiful clothes, and Sears or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You go to Durham and do that. The lady would give her a revolver, a credit, mm-hmm. and so we just went and got clothes and stuff like that. Sears, it just never really came up. And like I said, Ben Balling had his canteen up there and right next to the movie, and we hung out up there and did all the things and just had fun and stuff. It just didn't seem a big deal at that time. It just didn't seem...
You didn't feel scared?
Oh, no. I don't ever recall being scared. Okay. And then I think my... at the end of my freshman year, because my aunt, I mean, they worked at the fraternity sorority houses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she got me a job. I only worked one summer. That's why I said I'm really truly blessed. My parents were just magnificent. They didn't have any money. But they managed to send me and my sister to college.
She went too.
And we never had to worry about money, how to school, no loans, no nothing. We didn't even know that apply for anything, I guess. So anyway, I worked one summer, and this was summer for a family that lived off of Rosemary down there, and the lady, they were moving to Memphis, Tennessee. I went in 57, so this would have been like the summer 58. Okay, and I went with them to Memphis, and that's when I felt racism. That's when I knew that was my first bout with racism, because I had to stay in the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. But I took care of the kids in the day, and they lived somewhere else. And that's the same motel that Dr. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King was assassinated in.
Mm-hmm. Ten years later.
10 years later. That
must have been very eerie for you.
And that is when here I'm with this family. You know, I had to sleep over there in that motel, then they would come and get me during the day to take care of the kids. That's when I felt racist.
Did you talk about it at all with them?
I think that the issue was, this is what it is.
This is just how it is.
And so I'm sorry that you have to stay here, but this is the way it is. And so, you know, I thought, okay, I'm just riding up there to help them get the kids up there and then coming back. That was it. And that's the only job that I had until I went to work at UNC Hospital, at the Memorial Hospital. My dad paid for me and my sister to go to college somehow. They sent me the little bit of money that I had. My aunt sent me a little bit of money. He would come up and pick me up and bring me home, you know.
He did. So he had a car. Do you remember always having a car growing up?
I remember him having, yes. I know by the time that I finished high school, he had a car.
Yeah, because you said when you were chopping in Durham, you must have.
Yeah. So he said he had a car for a long time. Yeah.
Did it feel weird going to Durham? I mean, did it feel like a different world there, or did because Durham strikes me as it's more progressive. Yes,
a more progressive city, and like I said, my mother was able to have there was a crisis. I guess that's when we started the 60s. They started the. Mm-hmm. That was after, I guess, I got out of college. But yeah, I think we just knew that this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't question it. We were always in the church. We always celebrate God and felt that He would take care of you. And my father's motto was, faith without work is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever you do it to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
No shucking and jiving. You got to be the best you can be. And no man is no better than his word. So your word is your bond, is what he would always say. And so that's the lesson that I had. That's the lesson, that if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
You lived up to that?
I lived up to that. I lived up to that. I teach students in North Carolina Central. They would tell Miss Hogan their name.
You do.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about that. Okay. I'm sorry. You keep bringing up new stuff.
No, I never got to my life because we moved from Craig Street.
Right.
In 1962, we bought the house on North Graham Street, and so I was out of college then. I was able to give my parents the down payment on the house.
You did?
Yes. I was working as a nurse.
Well, you had been working about 1 year at that point, right?
Yeah, but
you already had it together.
Yeah.
And you were, I mean, at that point, okay, because I'm wondering, you did this incredibly generous thing by giving your house up, but it starts already when you're real young. You're already giving of
because
your own income.
Because my parents, I mean, and unfortunate for me, that's what, I'm the giver. So I give everybody everything, and I have nothing. And that's it, that has been my whole life. My dad has been, I mean, he was able, my mother was very, very generous too. Mm-hmm. Because, and I guess in a sense, my dad was spendthrift. My sister is stingy. So she got buku of money.
Mm-hmm.
And is always trying to get more. So that's what happens in terms of the house.
I see. There's tension.
I was left executive of the state because I was always the stay-at-home, family-oriented child. That's the way I was, just always home.
Yeah.
My mom developed Alzheimer's like in 85.
Mm.
So my dad had to take care of her. Well, I mean, 10 years of that. And I guess maybe in 5 years, diagnosed in 85, by 90, she was really having a hard time. So I was back from Baltimore. I came back from Baltimore in 73. And then...
10 years in Baltimore? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was
you
in...
You said 1962, they moved from...
There. But I lived across the street with Uncle Billy and dear when my husband got out of, like... My daughter was born in 63. I lived in the same house where Jackson and I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
Where Jackson lived, over in Miss Thompson's house.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Miss Thompson and I had a house right back of there. That's where Hugh and I live. And I had just had my daughter 1 month when John F. Kennedy mm-hmm. died in November.
She was born in October.
She was born October 29th, 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in Miss Thompson them house right mm-hmm. over there, like where Jackson lives today. So, okay. So, and then my husband, he finished school in 63. And then he moved, he went to Baltimore and I stayed until 64. And then I went to Baltimore December 64.
Why did he go to Baltimore?
To find a job.
And why Baltimore?
And I don't know, but I love Baltimore.
Did you? Oh, I lived there too for 8 years.
I loved it.
Where did you live?
I lived in northwest Baltimore. Uh-huh. First place we lived was on Main Avenue. That's right up there, by. Lord, I can't.
I lived up by the university, all the way up there, North Charles Street.
You live mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to the University of Maryland to get my master's.
At downtown, UNBC.
Downtown.
Yeah.
Baltimore.
You got a master's.
Just from University of Maryland.
I'm so impressed.
In nursing. In
mm-hmm.
nursing. University. Downtown Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. I know it. I know where it's, yeah.
Right there. Yep. Right there. Pratt. 600 Lombard Street.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so different now, they built that stadium.
It's not the same. It's not the same, but I love Baltimore.
Why?
I don't know, Johnny Unitas and
yeah.
Jen Mackey and all of them and my husband, because he was in park and recreation, he had a degree in physical education
mm-hmm.
and a minor in history. So when he got out of college, he had started going to UNC in the School of Public Health. And he actually did his student teaching at Lincoln and was the football coach down there. So he by the time he know more people in Trafalgar than I do. Oh, and this goodness. Is my home, and he's from Newburgh. But
well, all you have to do is be a football coach, and everybody knows you.
So, but anyway, so he left and went to Baltimore. So I guess he was up there about 3 months, and then he said, well, you know. So I packed up and went. I sent my daughter down to New Bern to live with his mother. And I went to Baltimore.
Just the two of you then?
Yeah, for a while. And then, of course, we brought her up. And I worked at Sinai Hospital there, Green Spring. And that's where I lived most of the time. First, I lived on Main Avenue, right off of, Lord have mercy, what I can't even think of the street. I drew it beyond Drew Hill Park, you know. And I can't even think of...
Home? No.
I can't even think of it all these many years.
Yeah, see, and
Springfield.
Okay.
Up there. That's where we lived. And then I moved. Then we moved off of Park. Can't even think of the Lord.
Well, it's a long time ago.
Yes.
That's 50 years ago.
Right, yeah. And then... So, but when I left, we were living in, I do remember where I ended up, 1608 East, right over there by the stadium.
Yeah. 33rd. University Avenue, 33rd. That's where I lived on 33rd and University.
Yeah, that's where I ended up, over there.
I know it very, yeah.
Yeah, so those were my last years there. And my daughter had went to... She started the school at this Catholic school there.
So she
was born here, but my son was born in Baltimore in 1971.
So when did she move from New Bern back up to Baltimore to be with you?
Probably in a year's time.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. So,
and then you had your son in what?
Well,
was
I had my
born?
Son in 71. So it's like 8 years between them. She was born in 63 and he was born in 71.
Where do they both live today?
He lives at Burnett Circle, Jones Ferry Road.
You're kidding.
My daughter lives in Lynchburg, Virginia.
So he went back
well
to his roots, or how did
no,
he,
let,
what's
let me,
the story
let me,
there?
It's so big. Okay, when Hugh and I moved back from Baltimore, and I came back in 73, as assistant professor at North Carolina Central University, teaching psych nursing.
I'm so impressed with that.
And so...
A pioneer.
And we were trying to find a place to live. Okay, the houses here... Now, I come back, there's apartments. You know, when I lived here as a child, there were no apartments. It was just houses. Black. I mean, Chapel Hill was totally... different. I didn't even know the place, didn't know nobody. I mean, it was just strange. But we were trying to find a place to live. So we were looking at Booker Creek houses, just so expensive. There's no way in the world we could afford that. We stayed about a year over on Church Street in Doretha Merritt, Rossford. Doretha had a house over there. So we rented that for a year. And then, in the meantime, my father and mother deeded me a front lot out of Burnett Circle. Because by then, my mother, the land is divided up. My mother got 12 acres of land out there, plus a front lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... We looked at trying to build. We didn't have no money, you know. I got two kids that couldn't do that. So we just kept looking for houses. So we found a house in Durham, in Trotter Ridge. It was a brand new neighborhood and a brand house. And we were able to get that financing. So that's how we ended up.
Do you remember how you were able to finance it? You obviously you had a steady income.
Yeah,
at the university.
Yeah, because I'm a nurse, right? And my husband came back and he got a job with the state of North Carolina, because he got his master's at Morgan.
Oh yeah,
University.
Yeah.
No, it's Morgan State then, but Morgan University in Maryland. Okay, and he was in urban planning. And he got a job with the state of North Carolina in the Division of Facility Service in mental health as a planner and looking at the director of planning. And so we both then is working for the state of North Carolina.
And so you had this income. Did you get a mortgage through a bank in Durham? Do you remember how that whole, the financing went? I mean, I know that self-help bank,
What? I really don't know who financed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't North Carolina Mutual.
So at that point
It might have been, I don't know whether it was the Federal Credit Union. I'm trying to think who we paid. I don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
So you considered moving back here, but because of the cost of the housing and the way the city changed.
It's just awful. But anyway, we wanted to build a house, and then we didn't have any money for that. So we didn't, but I had now got this lot. So that we got, they deeded the lot to mm-hmm. me. So and out of Brunner Circle, mm-hmm. and it's on Jones Ferry Road. Mm-hmm. So we were going to build a house out there. Didn't materialize, so of course we bought a house in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we moved in that house in 1974. We're still there.
Wow. So it's in downtown Durham?
No, it's right off of 54 and 751. Mm-hmm. You know where Jordan High School is?
Yeah.
Trotter Ridge right there.
So, but you said your son ended up going back to Barton. So you held on to the property there, but you didn't develop it?
No. So, after my father died in 2003,
mm-hmm.
as I said, my father was very, very, very spendthrift. And my father had money. So, we inherited his money. He had a lot of it on some money.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody name on was but me. Because I was going to take back, and why he did that is because my mother had Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister lived in Charlotte. I lived in Durham.
Mm-hmm.
I came every morning, took care of my mom, come back every evening, take care of my mom for 10 years. When I was blessed because God gave me a job, mm-hmm. by then I was working at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave me a job, so I get really teary.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a job that I didn't have to punch a clock.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, got the job as a head nurse. Never thought I would work in hospital. I don't know how in the world I ended up at Duke, but because I had taught at North Carolina Central. Mm-hmm. When I left North Carolina Central, I went to the Division of Facility Services, a nurse consultant for the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Had a schoolmate from Winston-Salem State that called me and asked me to come to Duke, and I said, I really have not worked in a hospital since 1965.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in that job. Yeah. I don't know why you were calling me, but please come and help me. And so I finally ended up going to Duke to work there. It was a blessing. He knew that I had to do this, so I had a job to take care of my mom. I took care of my mom for 10 years. My dad said, no, she will not go into a nursing home. And this is when he was working for President Friday at that time, and mm-hmm. then he eventually had to quit working, and that was the sad part, because we tried to put it in Charles House out there so he could continue to do his part-time
mm-hmm.
work, and she got a little combative, and so then we took her over to Charles House in Durham, because she didn't hit people, but the food, she would just grab food, she loved to eat, and so she would just grab the food. So then that meant he had to stay home with mm-hmm. her, because he was not going to be able to, he was not willing to put her in a nursing home. So therefore, every morning I came and every evening I came. Mm. And on Sundays, I would come and stay so he could go to church. So that, and he was in charge of the meal course at the church down there. So for him to continue, I gave up going to church. But while I did that, I went to Bible College, North Carolina Bible College. I didn't finish, but...
What made you do that? You were thinking of going into the ministry?
I wasn't interested in being a preacher, no. Mm-hmm. I just missed not being able to go to church, and I needed to feel spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I needed to know more about the Word of God. And so, since I couldn't go to church because I had to take care of my mom, and anytime my dad had to go somewhere, I would have to come and take care of her. I mean, I didn't have to, but...
What an amazing thing.
I did.
It's hard work.
And I've been a giver all my life. Mm. So that's why I ended up with depression after my dad died. He was just my rock. I mean, if you saw him after mom died, you saw me. I would come over during every Sunday, and we'd go to church together. And everywhere he went, I went. So that's why he had my name on as the executor of the state, because my sister did not find it expedient or helpful mm-hmm. or to come. She was too big in her social life, mm-hmm. in this sorority, in this group, in this and in that, that she did not think it was needed to come. Mm-hmm. And she would probably come once a month, late Saturday and leave Sunday. So with the money that I got, I gave everybody money. Everybody. I gave her. I gave her son, I gave my daughter, I gave my son. Larissa grew up with my dad, and mother took care of Larissa Farrington from 2 years old. I gave her money. I bought Reverend Harris and them a van.
Unbelievable.
And
you say you don't know why, but
but I'm broke today. See, so that's it. I'm broke. But with that money, then my son, unfortunately, was not able. He went out to the University of Oklahoma, wouldn't go to class. Oh God, so. He and his dad was not getting along. So I said, well, now I got money, I'm going to build a house. Hmm. So I have a house out in Chatham that he lives in.
In Pittsburgh now.
In Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm.
And so your son, he came back.
From Oklahoma.
And moved in the house.
Yeah, so he's in the house. Mm-hmm. And I'm still paying the mortgage.
Oh, how's he doing otherwise?
Oh, he's doing wonderful. That's what I'm saying. He has a marvelous job. I mean, he did not work for 11 years. So, I mean, I couldn't get a job because he got in trouble with the law. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get a job. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get a job. Got two kids. Couldn't get a job. Oh, boy. And so every dime I had was trying to take care of him. My daughter had a child at 16. Mm-hmm. I raised that child. Took care of him.
What's his name?
Wesley.
You got a big grin on your face. Where is Wesley now?
Wesley is in Durham. Mm-hmm. He works for the Department of Social Service. Okay.
Did your faith sustain you through those turbulent times?
I got very depressed after I started on medication after my mother's died. Mm-hmm. And I really think that was because I had invested everything in taking care of my mom. And when I got hypertension then. Mm-hmm. Okay, so No, I really didn't. And when my dad died, it was just like, oh God. We were right down at the hospital. I said, I can't go back to work. I just can't do anything. This was June 2013, third Sunday in June. The Mail Corps sings. He is the president of the Mail Corps. He didn't get up to sing. Daddy, what is wrong with you? So I go up there, nothing, I'm okay. So we come home, it was like Father's Day. So I had fixed the food. To this, I cooked for everybody, my sister and everybody. We ate. I gave Daddy my work number. Gave him the wrong number. I do not understand why I gave him the wrong number. And on this Tuesday, my husband called me and said, your dad is trying to get in touch with you. Mm-hmm. He had never called me. Mm. In my job. So I called Arisa, who was working at the dental school, and said, Arisa, you have to go to the house to see about Dad, because he called me, so something is not right. Mm-hmm. And I need to get there, but I'm leaving now, but you're closer. Mm. So when we got there, Dad said he was having chest pains, and so we took him to the emergency room. We stayed in that emergency room probably 16 hours. And then after they did the cardiac calf on Wednesday, he started bleeding, and he had a massive heart attack and was dead. Mm. 2 days, he was dead.
How old?
He was 88. Dead. And so after that, I mean, my world collapsed. So I went to the doctor and said, I had the racism. Mm. And Duke was so rampant. I wasn't there when it was segregated like UNC. I was not there.
Yeah.
But it is a plantation. That's what it was. And that's what it still is today. Oh, even though I had very good people that supported me. Dr. Ron Tasker was the medical director and in charge of the residents on the psych floor that I was the head nurse. I was able to co-author many articles because of him. I mean, it was just wonderful. I was able to go to Boston to meet with John Gunderson, who was the author on borderline personality disorder.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Up at Mass General, did this reliability and validity thing in terms of being able to interview people and to decide whether they had the disorder. He did this with Dr. Tasker and Dr. Schwartz and myself. I'm a black woman up here with these two doctors.
Believable.
I had a wonderful career.
Nursing
served me very well.
But you gave your life to it too.
I am my daddy's don't accept financially or not. But anyway, in terms of being able to say, if I'm going to do a job, it's going to be done well, or else I'm not doing it. That's the way I was in church. That's the way my dad was. He was the chairman of the steward board down there for 25 years. He didn't have a college education. No, he didn't finish high school. But he was a businessman and knew how.
Character
to do. Man of integrity. Man of integrity.
Mm.
From 603, we moved to 228 North Graham Street. Mm-hmm. So when my dad died, we had 603, 221, where we had 1/8 of that house at 221 plus 228. That's how my dad had messed up that amount of property. So.
And then the decision to give that house to Empowerment, you were saying, how do you think your dad would have looked upon that?
Well, I think that we had tried to, we didn't give it.